Blessing. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 6. Our scripture reading earlier today was given, and here we are in this text. And I want you to notice, I will not read the whole passage since it's just read for you. I want to take you to our text verse, and then we'll refer to the whole chapter as I preach. But I want you to notice a statement that's given to us here. And it's when the Lord, of course, asked them to feed these folks, and of course they were insufficient. And I want you to notice Philip's answer in verse 7, and we'll go from there. Philip's answer in verse 7. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? What are they among so many? I want to talk to you this morning from that statement right there on this subject, the insufficiency of ministry. The insufficiencies of ministry. I may even title it, Your Insufficiencies. We all have them. We all come short. In fact, that reality is why we got saved. For all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. When we realize that we cannot attain salvation and that in every aspect we fail, in every way we just come short, it's then we surrender and look to the one who is sufficient. Look to the one who has gone all the way and who has paid all the price, who gave everything that we might have salvation. And of course, that's the truth of our own salvation. Well, it's the truth here even in ministry. It's truth of your life in following Christ. Your life, it comes up every once in a while to remind you again and again, just when you think you've got it figured out, it's like a sign pops up and says, insufficient funds, insufficient funds. You ever been to Walmart and you do the card thing and you're watching and you go, oh good, it works. Worst thing you could ever experience is when it does it and you're wondering, insufficient funds. Very scary. I'll hate that if it ever happened. Forbes magazine put out an article in 2018 referring to the year before saying that America gave unto the banks, bless their heart, gave to the banks $34 billion dollars in overdraft fees. $34 billion. Boy, I tell you, we must really love banks. I'm telling you. Bless their hearts. We just love them. No, it's insufficient funds. And the penalty on that is in the $34 billion bracket. That's mind-blowing. But that's what happens when insufficient funds is the problem. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of those who contributed to that amount. I'm not going to do that today. But maybe the wives are giving the husbands that notation with the end of the elbow. Insufficient funds spiritually is really a good thing, though. You need to come to that, because if you're the kind who's got it all figured out, then you're in trouble. Honestly, I'm not going to name names, but in the past, in my ministry, I've seen people who seemed they had the corner market on a particular ministry, only for it to fly right back in their faces and embarrass them. We used to have trouble out of a particular parent that felt it was their calling to correct all of our young mothers in the nursery. I never gave them that ministry, but they just felt they had the corner market on parenting, only for their own children to absolutely embarrass themselves in the church. I don't wish that upon people. I don't sit in the corner and go, see there. It's not my intent. But I have often seen the great proverb come to truth in lives and in my own life. And that is, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Pride goeth before destruction. You know, if you look at your failures in life, you probably could back up, trace it just a little bit. You could probably back up and find, yeah, I got too confident. I got too confident. There are times in whether it was sports or music throughout my life, I just thought, you know, I've got this. And just the moment when I think I've got it, slap, flat on your face. And it's a good day when you realize that you're insufficient. It's just a good thing, good day. And so here we have a story you know very, very well of how the Lord asked these disciples to feed thousands. He calls upon them to feed thousands. And it's definitely out of their reach. Definitely out of their reach. The Bible here says, I want to look at our text here real quickly. Jesus, in verse 5, lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come to him. He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Here's the assignment. You are to feed these people. We've got to buy bread and take care of it. And, of course, the reality was, what are they among so many? And then from there, Jesus begins to show these men, as well as us today, what the key and how to overcome and how really to have the victory with all of our insufficiencies. With all of our insufficiencies. There is a key to it, and I want to share that with you. The lessons for our insufficient ministry. Let's pray. Lord, we do fall short. None of us have arrived. We never graduate from your discipling school. We're always students, whether it's students of prayer, students of worship, students of ministry. We're always students. Class is always in session. There's never a graduation day. I believe even, Lord, when we get to heaven, we're going to continue to learn more about you. We're going to still be amazed of that which we do not know, but see and admire for the rest of our time in eternity. And God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that where we fall short, you're everything. Where we seemingly come to the end of ourselves, that's when you start. And I'm asking God that you'll give hope, you'll give lessons learned that we will not throw in the towel, but see, this is all part of it, our insufficiency. And Lord, may through it all, we lean upon Thee harder than we've ever leaned, finding that that's where you wanted us to begin with. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. What can we learn from the insufficiencies of our ministry? And I would again say the insufficiencies of our life. What can we learn? Number one, from this story, and you know the story, you know how they found this little small lunch that was given to us in verse 9 by a person we referred to as the lad, just a boy evidently, and he had a small lunch, very small, and Jesus takes this small lunch and then asks the disciples to sit down. In fact, he told them, make the people sit down, and there was some organization of that, and we'll get into it in a moment, but you have to imagine what's going through the disciples' mind. It's as if Jesus is going to feed them. He's been given what he's requested, and it's so small. You have to think what's going through their mind. But still, by faith, they say, yes, Lord, and they began to set everybody in their particular places. In fact, the Bible in other accounts, we have all four Gospels given us an account. You have where the other account said they put them in sections of 50 and some by 100, and they just had them all in organized fashion. And you know this as well, that there was recorded 5,000 men. One of the Gospel writers says that's not counting the women and children. So there could have been 10,000 or more. Some estimate 15,000. But nonetheless, we have an incredible amount of people in the thousands with one little lunch. Number one, this overwhelming task is by divine design. This overwhelming task is by divine design. Jesus asked these men knowing what he was going to do. In fact, I want you to see this, if you would, look at verse 6. And this he said to prove him, the test, for he himself knew what he would do. All right, so it's in the mind of Christ. He knows the miracle he's about to pull off, but he keeps that hidden from them and just says, feed them. The task, as overwhelming as it is by divine design. There is, and I want you to understand this, there is a ministry struggle. I used to complain about it, and I need to stop. With ministries that God has given me down through the years, I felt always this tension. That there's never enough to get it done. Whether it's manpower, resources, money, offerings, whether it's time, it seems like there's never enough. And that tension is always there in ministry. But you know what? It's always there in life. Could you not say with me, never enough? Why is it that it just seems like, you know, we work hard, we save, there's just never enough. There's always need. I mean, children grow up always hearing, we can't afford that, we can't afford that, we can't afford that. That's okay. That tension is there for a reason, and it needs to be there. But it's there in ministry. You have a Christian school. Do you think you'll ever have needs if you have a Christian school? Wow. You have Ranch and Haven Ministries. You think we'll ever have needs there? Wow. We've got property. I mean, we almost need to change the name, Mowing Baptist Church. I mean, it's just... You think we're going to have needs there? Wow. Just the maintenance on those bad boys. I mean, wow. It's just, there's an always a tension. You know, when someone comes up to me and says, hey, I think we ought to start. We ought to do this. We ought to try this. There's automatic tension. Whoa, how can we pull that off? Do you think there's tension with ministry, like missionaries going to Uganda? God's asked them to do something. They got to raise support. They have to travel. We have missionaries sitting right here in the building. They know this tension. They know God's called them. And there's insufficient funds. What are we going to do? The insufficiency is that tension, and it's a life tension. You know this. And here's what the tension is. What we're capable of versus... Watch this now. What God has asked us to do. There's your tension. What we're capable of. Yeah, I got this. Versus what God has asked you to do. That will always butt heads. It'll always just, there'll be a struggle. There'll be a tension. May I say this, young person, teenager, life tension. You're always going to be faced with what you're capable of doing versus what God wants you to do. The question will be for you teenagers is this. Which one will have your full attention? And that's true of all of us. What you're capable of versus what God's asked you to do. The real question is which one has your full attention? If your full attention is on what I'm capable of, you might get something done, but you'll never experience God's best. And you'll never know the exciting journey of what God had intended for you to do if you limit your life with just, well, this is what I can do. What has God called you to do? What has God called you to do? We see these men, they're asked to do something that's absolutely mind-blowing. And that tension is there. What are they going to do? Are they going to come up with what they can buy for 200 pennies worth? Or are they going to obey God by faith? You may say this, well, look, preacher, I feel so overwhelmed. And I would say to you, right answer. Right answer. God puts us in those situations. Not to make light of your feelings of overwhelm. I mean, that's real. It's big. Sometimes you wonder if you're going to die. But that's exactly how the disciples felt in many cases when they followed the Lord. In fact, remember them when they were in the ship and the storm arose? Where was Jesus? Oh, he's down in the bottom of the ship asleep, right? What were they doing? When the storm arose, the Bible says they, what? They fought the storm. In a sense, they rode through it. They fought it. They were experienced. And so for a while, they worked off of their experience. For a while, they used their expertise. For a while, they remembered their training. For a while, they had it. And that's why Jesus was able to sleep for a little while. But then came the tension where it was so big, they finally thought they were going to perish. And from there, what happened? They found Jesus and said, Master, and they woke him up. Carest thou not that we perish? Peace be still. Now the yawning's in the Greek. You didn't see that, but it's there in the Greek. Here's the point. You'll either say, I got this, or faith will say, go get Jesus. I don't know what you're going through right now that's like, you cannot see through this thing. You'll either hold to your expertise, or you'll go get Jesus. And the day that faith wins is a day that you will see God do amazing things in your life if you'll just learn to go get Jesus. So in this impossibility, what do we learn? This overwhelming task is by divine design. I used to always preach, the Lord's going to give you, I didn't say it that way, but the Lord's going to give you assignments that are always bigger than you are. I used to preach that in my church when I was in Alabama. And all of a sudden, it happened. God gave me an assignment that was so much bigger than me. And I thought it was going to kill me. I thought it was going to kill me. Literally thought it was going to kill me. And what I preached by faith, amen, I had to live. And God may be giving you an assignment right now that you just say, it's overwhelming. Right. But it's by divine design. Number two, what do we learn from the story? Well, in our insufficiency, the whole overwhelming task is by divine design. But number two, in our insufficiency, little is to be given freely. Little is to be given freely. In other words, when you're overwhelmed, when you're insufficient, do you know what God wants? Little from you. You know why God wants little from you? That's all you got. That's all you got anyway, right? But little is what's given. And little is much when God is in it. See, here's the deal. Yours is little. I look at this story and you have a little lad, just a boy. It wasn't some businessman or Roman soldier who had, you know, ties to the officials, who had lots of none of that. There probably were noblemen in that day and time, in that crowd, but we have just a little lad. And the little lad had what? Just a little lunch. And the little lunch had what in it? Just a little content. They say the five loaves were actually biscuits, just small. I mean, I can't imagine some boy going to lunch, unless they're interns, then they could eat five loaves. But honestly, if you got five loaves, that's quite a bit. It wasn't loaves like you're thinking, big old box pieces of bread. It wasn't that. It's like little wafers, like biscuits. And the fishes, we're not talking about 5-pound largemouth bass either. They tell us, scholars do, that they're probably about the size of a sardine. Could be a little larger, but small fishes. Little man, little lunch, little content. Little. But what's huge that you need not forget and need not over or bypass, what's huge is the willingness to give it to the master. It's little, but to be given freely is huge. Do you know that's the real test for you and me? It's not the amount, it's the willingness. It's the willingness. Willingness to offer. I can imagine this little lad thinking, why would you want my lunch? This makes no sense. I mean, you got all these thousands of people to feed. What are you going to get out of five biscuits and a couple of sardines? This is not going to go far. So that makes no sense. Leave it with me. It's mine anyway. But he didn't do that. He willingly gave, as small as it was. May I say, it's never about the amount. It's all about the willingness. Do you remember the amount they were dealing with first? 200 pennies worth. That was the early argument. Remember that in the story? Early argument was, Lord, all we've got 200 pennies worth. It's not going to get them a whole lot. That was an argument, but it was never willingly given. I never see Judas. I never see Peter. I never see these men go, here, Lord, here's the money. They may have wanted to, but we never see them offering it. What we see them doing is disputing it or arguing about the matter. How silly it is to think 200 pennies worth is going to feed these thousands. So when you compare what they had, 200 pennies worth, compared or contrasted to a lad's lunch, may I say it wasn't the amount that was the problem. It was the willingness. You see, you'll do one of the two. You'll either say, Lord, I don't have enough. Or you'll say, Lord, here's what I have. Some people might even say this, Lord's been touching your heart about preaching. Some of you young men, Lord, I can't preach. Well, it's not about your ability. It's about your willingness. Lord, I'm not good at witnessing. I get so nervous. It's not about your marketing salesmanship. It's about willingness. Lord, I don't have enough money to give to missions. I want to tithe, but I just don't have it. It's not about the amount. In fact, Lord doesn't ask for a lot of amount anyway. It's never about the amount. It's about the willingness. Lord, I don't really have the time. I mean, in my schedule, how can I give time to you? Prayer, time for the Lord. I don't have the time. It's not about the amount of time. It's about the willingness to give up your time. Lord, I'm just not good enough. Some of you have fallen flat on your faces, and I'm sure there's nobody in here who hasn't. We may even say, Lord, I'm just not worthy. And you may genuinely mean that, but it's not about the amount of goodness. It's about willingness. May I ask you this question? Is your little your big excuse? Is your little your big excuse? A little becomes a big argument. 200 pennies worth is so small. That's a clear, big argument. Yet we have a little lad's lunch. It's smaller than 200 pennies worth, and there's no argument. There's willingness. We let the smallest things get in the way of the biggest blessings. You'll either say, I don't have enough, or Lord, here's what I have. Number three, it's not 12 o'clock yet. Number three, in our insufficiency, watch this now. Obedience to Christ is crucial for continued supply. Amen. This is good. I can't wait. When you are asked to obey God in a task that's overwhelming or pushed through when it doesn't make sense, it's crucial for you to obey Him for continued supply. When did Jesus perform this miracle? Well, it was after He had asked for, what do you have? They brought Him the last lunch. He then told the disciples, make them sit down in companies of 50. And so they began to accompany them all across the grassy hillside. They are, and by the way, if you're dealing with several thousand, that's no easy task. There's a lot of running. There's a lot of having to holler over the crowd noise. Everybody sit down. Yes, He said, sit down. Yeah, back there, down on the grass. The Master is going to do something. Boy, they're having to do this among thousands. I mean, think about how hard it is for us to go over next door and have a meal and get you to sit down with your meal. It takes forever to get through those lines. We've done everything to figure out how to get it faster, you know. But we're dealing with thousands. Sit down. No. Groups of 50. Groups of 100. There's 300 over here. Y'all are too big. You know, we're working it constantly. I can imagine the sweat. I can imagine them watching the sun's about to set. It is the late hour. And we're racing against time, and they're just putting forth all the effort. Now watch this. But as they obeyed the Lord, as they did their part, which took painstaking, sweat at the brow, organization, Christ did His part. It was as the disciples did what Christ asked them to do that you have Jesus over here looking up to heaven. For them. I don't know about you, but if you could just imagine, whatever your need is, Jesus is looking up to heaven for you. Do you know the Bible teaches us that as Christ sits on the right hand of the Father, that He's making intercession for you? Do you know He's praying to His Father for you? Whatever your insufficiencies are, I would say obey Christ, for He's praying for you. That's doctrinally sound. Christ is over here looking up to heaven, and they are scurrying to get it all right. And you don't have this until you have that. Christ does the supplying, we do the distributing. As we distribute, there will be supply. I don't know how it was performed, but you have these two little sardines and you've got these five little wafer-type biscuits, and next thing you know, there's a huge basket full. And out of nothing, the hand of the Creator just created it. And He took it and He poured it in that basket and He poured it in that basket. And I've brought this out. Some folks saw me walking with this earlier, and I explained to them, these are our new offering plates. I'm so excited. I was actually looking for a basket back there in the storage room. All I could find was this thing. But it works. I do think it'd make a nice offering plate. Amen. All right. It's even got nice handles. Okay, here we go. Here's how it works. As Jesus, let's say He's over there by the piano. As Jesus is performing the miracle, the disciples' job was to distribute. So the Bible says they were using baskets to do this. And I can imagine after He gave all the food in that company of 50, everybody got theirs, good. Oh no, what are we going to do now? He goes back over here, and sure enough, the Master is still, by His power, creating. Here you go, Lord. Wow, man, it's even warm. Wow, this is great. You know, the bread, not the fish. All right, this is great. And He's given this, and He feeds this company of 50. Here you go, folks. Here you go. Step right up. Yeah, get your fish. All right, so He's having a great time. We're out again. Well, the master's over there. Okay. He goes over here. What's happening? Jesus, by his power, is still supplying. Here you go, Lord. As the distributing continues, the power to supply will continue. The day we say, it's just not enough, and we give it up, knowing that there is a supply over there that is sufficient, I would say to you, pick up your baskets of faith and get to the Master, whose supply will always be there as you need it. Let me tell you where churches have failed. The churches have failed, watch this now, to a society that's lost, not on our way to heaven. The greatest need is to feed them the bread of life, who is Christ Himself. The day the church sets back and says, wait a minute now, we've got this. We can do church without all this, you know, work of the Spirit, people getting converted, and we could come up with church a different way, and we can do this without supply. And this is what I believe what's happening to the Church of the Living God today. I believe there's no more power because nobody is distributing the bread of life. Y'all get that? In other words, we've got this figured out. There's no more need of supply of power. But as long as there is need, God's power will keep supplying. And I've got good news for you. The well of the gospel will never run dry. It will still save. It will still change lives. And it will get the job done. We've just got to get back to the Master and let Him fill up our baskets for a world that's lost, for a world that's hungry, for a world that needs Christ. And when we stop feeding the bread of life, I believe the power will cease. You know, what's to become of Shenandoah 20 years from now? 20 years from now, I'll be 70. I don't know where I'll be and what I'll be doing, but can I tell you that the success of Shenandoah, where we're going to be 20 years from now, will be based upon this one factor. Will we continually get our supply from Christ to a needy world? The day we say, you know what, needy world, it's always going to be that way. It's not really a big deal. And we just kind of lay that aside. There'll be no more power. There'll be no more need. And there'll be no more supply. But as long as we're doing the work, as these disciples were, to a lost world, the supply will be there. I close with this, number four, and it's after 12. In our insufficiency, Jesus will always do more than we expected. In our insufficiency, Jesus will always do more than our expectancy. There's a reason. Look, if you would, at verse 12. Jesus said, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. I don't want one sardine laying on the ground. I don't want one wafer tossed over there in the Mediterranean. I want every fragment gathered, accounted for. Inventory, let's take it. What have you got? Lord, everybody's full. I mean, everybody's full. This is one of those, everybody's full. What do we have left over? 12 basketfuls. They bring the 12 basketfuls, and what's the thought here? Always with Jesus, there is an abundance. Always with Jesus, there's never a short changing. God doesn't shortchange people. I've talked to young people, and I've said, you know, you ought to give your life to Christ. You ought to serve the Lord. They're afraid. They're afraid that they will have to suffer. They're afraid that they will be poor. They're afraid that, you know, somehow God's going to shortchange them. And I will tell you this, that if you follow the Lord, there will always be more than you ever expected. Always abundance with Jesus. He can do more than we could ask or think. The problem is we don't take time enough to do spiritual inventory. We don't count our blessings as we should. We're real good on finding where we're short and what we need. But are you an expert on the inventory of how good God has blessed you? Let me ask you this question. What are your fragments? Have you taken account of them lately? Oh, I know. I know when problems come up, it gets front and center. It really does. But sometimes from that front and center, you just need to back up and say, no, wait a minute now. The Lord's blessed us. The Lord's blessed us. You know, one of your kids are sick. Oh, now the kid's sick. And that's a big thing. We've had ours get up to 103 temperature. Didn't know if we were ever going to get it down. Thought there may be brain damage because of such heat and you know, all these concerns. But you look around, you start seeing that God has gotten you through this before. God has met the need. The Lord has seen, has never left your side. There are so many blessings that follow it and are all around it. We just need to gather the fragments. The same Jesus who demands you feed them is the same Jesus who says, now I want you to stop and look around you and watch how the fragments remain. And I want to tell you something. We ought to be the most grateful people on the face of the earth. For we've got so much a fragment around us that we just need to take spiritual inventory and thank Him and praise Him. This is what God wants to teach us in our insufficiencies. Let's pray. Lord,